Insurance. Don Hamrick here to start the new year off with some great news. Right now, you can clear away your holiday debt by getting a new Chapman Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, or Ram. Believe it. Chapman will give you up to $5,000 cash back to pay your bills and put you in a nicer new car at the same time. You won't have to worry about what charge cards are due because Chapman's For the People credit approval process will get you financed with up to $5,000 cash back and put you into a new Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, or Ram. This incredible offer applies to our full line of new Dodges, new Jeeps, new Chryslers, and every single new Ram truck you can imagine. Chapman will give you up to $5,000 cash back to pay your holiday bills and put you in a nicer new car for 2018 at the same time. It's all part of our Start Something New event. Visit ChapmanLasVegas.com for more information. See what can happen at Chapman.
Boise on selected models. Dealer retained 3 days. Offers may not be combined. Chapman!
ESPN Radio 1100 and 100.9 FM is KWWN Las Vegas. K265EZ. On the Rebel Sports Network from Learfield, live from Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel and Casino. This is the Marvin Menzies Radio Show, brought to you by Fenley Toyota, MGM Resorts International, NV Energy, and by Fenley Chevrolet. Now, here are your hosts, John Sandler and Robert Smith.
Yes, indeed. We are back at Bailiwick, our favorite spot here at the Orleans, for another edition of the Marvin Menzies Radio Show. Runner Rebel basketball getting ready for a big one Saturday evening at the Thomas and Mack, the first meeting of the year between the Runner Rebels and the Aztecs of San Diego State. Both teams feeling as if they should probably have acquitted themselves a little bit better thus far in the Mountain West Conference season, and both teams with a chance to kind of make a statement against one another. The Rebels a chance to break that streak against the Aztecs. All sorts of stuff going on, and we would love to see a big crowd at the Thomas and Mack on Saturday night. Hi, everybody. John Sandler, Robert Smith, and head coach Marvin Menzies with you as we're going to talk about Runner Rebel basketball in a variety of ways from a variety of perspectives tonight. But I think it's most important to start off by asking both of you, how are you feeling after the bus ride?
Don't ask.
I'll let you answer that first, Robert.
Right.
You went home and ironed yourself, didn't you, Robert?
Yeah. Well, in order to finish out that ride, you have to go to a chiropractor like every day, man. I have kinks and knots.
it was tough. It was one of those days where you just kind of wanted to minimize the distractions for the guys and just say, hey, this is what it is. And, you know, life is about hitting the curveball. And, we came close to getting a single or a double. Yeah, we fouled it off. But the way the game unfolded. But, man, I tell you what. And even today, they were dragging a little bit today. We had to get some pop back out of them. But they ended up finishing practice pretty strong, pretty focused. But 2 days after, it was still, you know, we got them up. We got them up at like 4:30, I think.
On Tuesday morning.
And then we, I won't give you the whole itinerary for the day, but we had a rough day and then a loss. And then you got to go immediately to the bus and drive 6 hours home. So that was, I felt like I was at Santa Monica City College again. I was like, wait a minute. What's wrong with this picture?
I just wonder, I really thought about if they weren't sort of just so groggy at the time. When we stopped, the bus driver had to stop about halfway.
Right, I remember.
In Kerman Junction, if you've ever been there, it's just it's just the other side of Barstow.
It's like right next to Petticoat Junction.
There you go, right next to Petticoat Junction. Right, right. And it was 3:40 in the morning or something when we stopped. And you just feel for the kids, you know. They had no idea where we were.
No.
Right.
No, I mean, you might as well have been on another planet.
Right,
just
right,
for, you know, because
right.
it
And wait
made
a minute,
for
hold
a
on. And then we got back at 5.
Right. Right.
Then they had to go to class. They had class at some, a couple of them had classes 8. I think some of them started at 9 or 10. And so it was a doozy, man. But, you know, that was a couple of days ago. And life goes on, and we keep pushing forward. And
here's what their notes look like.
Yeah.
they just kept falling.
John has squiggled some lines here. But I think at the end of the day, it was one of those scenarios where, you know, you have an event, We talked about the response.
Yep.
And then hopefully that'll determine a positive outcome for Saturday. So what we did was after the debacle of the day and the loss, we were able to have some good conversations with the guys individually. We had some guys come in on the off day, watch some film, talk a little bit on Wednesday. Mutually exclusive of each other, they went out and watched the San Diego State play because we had the luxury to have the day off and rest a little bit. And so I think they were focused in. They were physically, it took them a little time to get going today, but then they finished pretty strong.
That's great to hear. Well, we got two games to talk about because, of course, Colorado State last weekend and that great comeback. I've got the
can
play.
Can we talk about that one second?
You want to finish strong.
Yeah.
Like the guys. I got it.
All right. We just covered the doom and gloom of the
right.
day.
All right.
Let's go into the loss.
All right.
And then let's start getting an upswing, and we'll bring a couple of Vegas staples in here, and Nick and Noah to come and close it out with a bang.
There you go. All right. So you knew Fresno State was going to be tough.
Yeah.
And Rodney Terry always has his guys playing hard, and the other night was no difference.
Mm-hmm.
I was impressed, and you know, you talked about it in the post-game show. After the game, you didn't have the same feeling of just beating yourself up and being down. You hate to lose, but you didn't have that same feeling that maybe you did after the New Mexico game or the Utah State game because, first of all, the guys played better, and they played hard.
Yeah, they played hard, and it was even confirmed when I went and watched film the following day. Some film that night, but then the following day, just they're getting better. You know, they're getting better defensively. They did some things that we liked in the ball screen defense and in the way we handled the personnel. We wanted to limit number five, for example, to no threes, and he's a really good
Jamel Taylor.
Yeah. He had no threes, and then we wanted to guard different guys differently. We didn't have the 5 point average kid
right.
Carter as a focal point,
right?
And he ended up getting loose on us a little bit, but you know, you never can't cover everything in a 2-day swing. We had played Saturday, we only had Sunday, Monday, and then we played Tuesday. So, but nonetheless, it was one of those deals where I felt like we made some steps. We just didn't make the final step when we tied the ball game there. Whatever score, I think it was 62-all or
something like that. It was in the low 60s.
Right.
But I really did, and I was really impressed. You're beginning to rely on them more and more. They're getting more and more playing time. You're freshmen.
Yeah.
I mean, Mbake, of course, after a bad first half, came back and had a terrific second half.
He did.
But Nunu was so solid in that game after Shakur got in early foul trouble.
Right.
And Amari just continues to get better every game out.
Yeah, you know, you look at those three guys that are getting those minutes off the bench, and you can the future's bright, obviously, and those guys are getting those valuable minutes, I should say, because as you build this program, those guys are going to be, you know, anchors moving forward of what it takes to you know, build this championship culture, you know, and so they're all guys that are going to be contributors for the duration of this year and next year. So it was good to see them play, you know, quality minutes.
Robert, you and I talked about it during the game. Carter, he's the big, huge, you know, six. He's probably
6'10".
And he's listed at 290, and I think for the first time that might be right because he's lost some weight.
Yeah, he has.
But he's really improved as a player, as a basketball player. He's always been a tough physical. But I thought, and you and I talked about it, Robert, the fact that he – first time he got the ball, he scored very easily.
Yeah.
And I think that woke Brandon up a little bit. And Brandon McCoy really started to kind of get after it.
Right. Yeah.
When you know, Carter's a veteran, and Brandon struggled a little bit with him at times. But I thought the reaction was great.
Well, McCoy, he did wake up after Carter bumped him a few times, and he said, hey, I'm going to have to play this guy.
Yeah.
And it's funny because, you know, he's not a starter, but when he comes in and puts up some numbers – And I think it's something about UNLV. He just loves to play against us, man. Because
most people do.
Yeah.
You're learning that.
Once he got going, you could see Brandon kind of light up, and they were jawing back and forth with each other on the court. So I thought it was good to see McCoy wake up and start getting after him.
No doubt. Nunu is looking more and more comfortable on the court.
He is.
Yeah, I think playing Nunu at that four position was really good because he was probably more of a natural three in the future. He has got some reps at the gotten some reps at the three, and so we're playing him between the two positions. But I think it was good to just get him out there and just be on the floor regardless. Even like Amari. Amari's given us a lot of minutes at the wing, and I could see, you know, he and Noah, you know, sharing some minutes at the one and the two next year. And but it's, you know, guys like that, like Amari, you want to get him on the floor. You know, you want to get Mbaké on the floor. And I think fortunately or unfortunately, the foul trouble will force that sometimes. But then I think playing a longer rotation will be good for us.
Be good for us this year. Could be good in the long run, as you say.
Yeah,
you get those
no
kids
question.
Experience. You mm-hmm. get, you know, like everything else, you get more comfortable. It becomes instinctive. You know, the flow's better on the court, and you're really starting to see it. And you know, I know there was a dip, but I think the Rebels have come out of that, and you hope that you don't see another one.
Right, you know? Right. And that's what you play for. You play to have some consistency. You play to win the game. You play to get better. You play to reach your goals. You know, I thought that, you know, I watched that Wyoming Reno game last night, and after I watched the San Diego State game, and you know, it was just, it's amazing what this conference brings you in terms of parity. It's right. And I know that Reno's still out there at 7-1 or right. whatever they are, but and then Boise right behind them. But after that, I mean, it's a logjam.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I think, you know, this thing's going to come down to the last game or two before the standings are actually final.
Yeah, and we'll talk about it later, but obviously all those teams in the middle, and everybody's aware of it. We had Coach Jones on from Fresno State on pregame before the game, and he was talking about how, yeah, Reno and Boise are looking like they're separating themselves, but they're, you know, six teams after them that are playing for
right
position
there.
For the conference
yeah.
tournament.
Right.
Because that's going to be critical, the matchups and the when you play and all of that, and the Rebels will be playing to put themselves in the best position possible going forward, trying to win every game in doing so.
No doubt. I think that positioning, though, is something that is more looked at by the, you know, the media,
right.
the fans. I think right now with a logjam, you got to get that game in front of you,
yeah.
and that's kind of where our focus is.
Yeah, it's premature to talk about it. Jordy continues to run the team effectively. Probably had a couple of plays where he got a little bit out of control, but you know, with a guy who's on attack like that, I guess you take it's a balancing act.
Mm-hmm. No question.
Bit.
You know, he's another kid that I think played too many minutes. And I told him that. I said, I got to get you some more rest, and I think we might try to find a way to do that going forward a little bit, because we just need to get him in a better decision-making mode in the latter part of the game. And he had just gotten a couple and-ones, and so when he took that last one,
yeah.
he was looking for somebody in the corner. We didn't get the drift position really where we wanted it. So sometimes when you drive and you bounce for others, if the others don't move, then it looks like you took a bad shot.
Right. Right.
It's not always it's directly on you.
No doubt about it. Robert, did fatigue affect you, you know, from that mental standpoint when you were playing? Do you appreciate that rest as a point guard?
No, you definitely, when you get that little break in, you know, in the game, you can finish stronger. And I thought Jordy did a great job of keeping the team in the game. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, he got a little tired and fatigued at the end. And it happens. But, you know, he was trying to win. That was his thing.
And he just had a couple and ones,
right, to keep the same time. To keep him in the game.
You can't really blame him for going for it.
No, he did a great job of keeping us right there.
Right.
And then, you know, a couple of hiccups, and before you know it, the game's over.
Yeah.
Fans, remember that we got a lot going on Saturday night at the Thomas & Mack, a 7 o'clock tip against San Diego State. There's all sorts of entertainment and performers and games on the concourse before the game. So get there early. A chance to win a lot of great prizes. There's a special student tailgate out by the Tarkanian statue before the game. I think it starts at 5 o'clock. Love to see a big crowd of students at the game on Saturday. And then, of course, you know, Rebels and the Aztecs, doesn't get any better than that. Should be a lot of fun. Call 739-FANS or go to UNLVtickets.com. We'll talk about the Aztecs later in the show. But go to UNLVtickets.com or 739-FANS and get your tickets. Come on out, and let's get the Thomas and Mac rocking once again as the Rebels take on the Aztecs on Saturday night. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Now we're going to talk about Colorado State.
Yay!
Good news coming up. You're listening to the Marvin Menzies Radio Show from Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel Casino on the UNLV Sports Network from Learfield. Throws it out top to Jordy. Plenty of time on the shot clock. Rebels down 9-1. Jordy, a three off the dribble. Ooh. That's a tough shot. That's a good shot. Wow. Jordy Johnson knocking down a three to start the Rebels scoring after they took a little time off to start the game out at Fresno, down 9-1 early, and got right back in it. Really made a great effort, and as coach said, just unable to get that last bit over the hump to get the win. But talking Runner Rebel basketball here at Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel Casino, John Sandler, Robert Smith, and the head coach Marvin Menzies. Rebels and San Diego State Saturday night, 7 o'clock at the Thomas and Mack. Robert and I have all the action starting at 6:30 with Runner Rebel warm-up. All right, Rebels on Saturday had been up in Fort Collins, Colorado, taking on a Colorado State team that was missing their leading scorer. But Larry Eustace is a terrific coach, and he's going to find different ways of getting after you. And he did, coach, as the Rams on two separate occasions, including late in the game, down under 4 minutes to go, had 9-point leads, and the Rebels got off the mat each time. They did the same thing in Fresno, got down by nine and came back. So, but they started that trend in Fort Collins, and you don't like to get down nine, but you love to see the guys come back.
Right.
Yeah, you know, that's the competitive spirit that these guys have, and it was good to see there was no quit in them, and Larry threw some curveballs at us for sure. I mean, he ran some sets we had never seen. He also did some things personnel-wise to get those guys ready. I thought he did a really good job and guarded us in some ways that they hadn't done before either. So he knew he had to dig down to his bag of tricks based on not having Prentice there. So, but, you know, luckily we were able to make the right adjustments in that last 4 minutes, as you mentioned.
I was going to ask you. So, you know, we focus so much on game prep and recruiting and getting, you know, getting the guys ready or dealing with the aftermath of whether it's a win or a loss.
Right.
We don't spend a lot of time talking about in-game adjustments. And we've seen so often this year the Rebels do such a good job, whether it's after halftime, out of a timeout, things like that. And you had to do some significant adjustments in that Colorado State game.
We did. We had the scout. The scout was good, but executing the scout with his curveballs, Larry's curveballs, almost was a different scout. So we had to, in game, make some adjustments. We ended up playing a full court full court zone press back to a half court zone, which ended up being really good for us with the right personnel on. I think we even finished the game with like Mbake and Nunu in there
based
on the matchups. And
no doubt.
We just full fronted those guys. Kind of what we did the second half with Carter. We just said, you know what, he's getting too deep on the touch, so we're just going to full front. And that's not our modus operandi by any stretch of imagination on a regular basis. But sometimes you got to, you know, like you say, you got to adjust.
And John, we talked about that during the game. In the second half, we go, look, we got four freshmen out there, and, you know, and they were playing well, playing hard, playing together, and you know, just goes to show you the future of this team,
right?
With
no
what they have right now.
Yeah, I mean, I've got the play-by-play recap of the Colorado State game, and you know, the Rebels outscored them 14-0 to end the game, held them scoreless for about 4 minutes to end the game,
right?
And In large part because of those adjustments, and in large part because he brought Nunu in. But you know, the guy who had the biggest impact, no question, was Mbake John.
Again, 100%. He was a rim protector. I think his stats, I don't have them, but I hear he has some very unique statistics in reference to what other teams score against us when he's on the floor. Yep.
It's in the 30s or something like that. It's two basic stats. One is teams, when Mbaké's on the floor, shoot less than 40% from the field.
Right.
And the Rebels outscore teams by a larger margin when Mbaké's on the floor.
Right.
And they go together.
With other combinations, yeah. And, he's he's obviously not solely responsible for that, but there's an energy also there. There's,
and he
does some things, instinctly that some of the other guys don't do as of yet, but are getting better at. And so I think like the last game, even though one of the reasons it didn't hurt as much as a loss normally hurts is because you see those silver linings and you go, we're going to be okay. We just got to keep fighting. And we've got some tough teams coming up on the slate with the schedule. But if you want to beat the best, you got to play the best.
Yep.
So we're looking forward to every competition we have for the duration of conference. We've got 11 games left. And as long as we keep improving, we feel like it's not just about the three games in March, but it's also about beating the teams along the way.
Robert, I loved his reaction when Mbaké, remember up at San Jose Stadium, right, those two free throws, made the second one to send it to overtime. And he talked about how nervous he was. And we laughed about it. I mean,
right.
Coach, you said he walked halfway to San Francisco before the first one.
Halfway to Senegal.
Yeah. but I think he really learned from that. I don't want to make too much of it, but can an instance like that for a young player, can that kind of turn the light on for him?
I think so, because you've got to remember everything that they have in front of them is an image and is a vision before they actually step into the play and actually play the part. So when they have favorable results, the confidence boost is much larger when you have a clean slate as a freshman than when you've had a bunch of successes and failures as a junior or senior. The experience portion of it is different,
right?
But the confidence piece is probably bigger of an impact for a younger kid.
Well, I think it's paid off. He looks so much. I mean, the guy comes out now. I mean, he's on attack.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny. Going back to the Colorado State game, when he came out early, he had a good game before that,
right?
And he came out. He was like in such a hurry with everything. Once he settled down, you could see, he made a difference in the game. But I think he was just anxious to play well again.
You nailed it. And I told him that. I don't know if you guys can hear me, but I walked down to him. And I said, okay, did you get the jitters out? And I said, okay, now relax.
Yep.
It's not life or death.
That's
what we love to do. So let's go out and do it well. And he just looked at me and said, got you, coach.
he's such a great kid. He's so engaging.
He really is.
And, I mean, we were talking about the adjustment. So, okay, I just want to get back to that for a minute.
You notice
a team is doing something else. I mean, they're trying to win too.
Yeah. Right.
Right? And you guys, before every full timeout, you and your staff, you get together as a group, and I'm sure other guys talk about that process.
Well, typically we're communicating throughout the game, but I've been standing up a lot, and so I've missed some of that. You've noticed because you couldn't see the game. You should have told me that. Wait.
We're in trouble.
You're gonna have a crick in your neck.
He's gonna bring a cape.
So count Menzies. So what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna meet with the guys a little bit more throughout the game, and in our collaboration, and then so when we have that timeout, sometimes we can get in and out of our meeting a little bit quicker as well, so that you could settle the guys, get them their message, and you're not running to the last second of the timeout. Some of it's like, okay, are we good? Everybody good? All right. You guys ready to roll? You want to make sure they're calm, cool, collected, and confident when they walk back out on the floor.
Is that tough, Robert? You're out there, running around like crazy, and all of a sudden you sit down, and the coach is trying to tell you, you should do this instead of that, or we're going to try this. And you're looking at him, and the mouth's moving, and the sound's coming out, and you're going, exactly.
Right.
Is it Charlie Brown's
Charlie
teacher?
Brown.
Yeah, there you go.
That's it. No, sometimes the game is going so fast, you do. You know, and that's why it's good to take the time out and have the coaches kind of settle you down. Because some guys, like we said, Mbake, the Colorado State game, he's going so fast, you just need to calm him down a little bit, get him back on the track so he can, play well.
Yep.
No doubt about it. Well, playing well will be incumbent upon the Rebels on Saturday night. San Diego State in town, it's been a while since the Rebels have been able to defeat the Aztecs. Their program has been rolling. This year, some ups and downs, some inconsistencies. Coach, you got a chance to see him, and I know you're going to continue to study him, and you've got your assistants on the game plan and doing all that. Tell us what you see from the Aztecs this year. Talk about the matchup a little bit. And without giving away state secrets.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I won't go into too much details, but they do have quality personnel. Where were they picked to come into the conference?
They were picked, I believe, third, possibly second.
Right, depending on who he was asking. Yeah, yeah. Or who you asked, I should
say. I think
say.
Reno and Boise were 1-2. I think they were picked third.
Third. So, I could see that, rightfully so, based on their talent. And when I say talent, I mean athleticism, experience, guys that have been there, seen it, knows what it looks like.
Right.
Trey Kell and Malik Pope and company are, a veteran crew that, when healthy, collectively, they can beat anybody on any given night in conference. They pounded Colorado State last night. Now, granted, Colorado State is down without having Prentice, but yet still they did exactly what they were supposed to do. They had 25 assists yesterday. I think they had very, very low turnovers. I want to say 6 or 7.
Wow.
I mean, it was low. They did a great job of sharing the ball and playing together, where they haven't always done that. So for Brian Detcher, it was good that they took a step in the right direction after having a tough stretch there. I think it was 3 games they had lost. But what they bring to the table from a individual talent skill set is tops in the conference. And Dutch is doing a great, phenomenal job, actually, I think, in his first year as a head coach of keeping them and managing, the team chemistry, from what I understand, and their ability to buy in. I think they're going to right the ship here, and hopefully they won't write it too straight when they get here. next week I think they're going to be forced to reckon with
it.
But they're definitely playing better basketball based on last night's performance, and they have the ability to beat anybody on any given night. So, it's the same thing defensively. They can, once they get back to who they were defensively, it was with long athletes with similar bodies that can really, clog it up in the paint but challenge you and keep you out of the paint, but at the same time still challenge a tough shot and make it a tough two. They're a tough out.
We always talk about, against San Diego State, you can't let them force you into quick shots, especially quick threes.
Right. And that's what they'll lull you into that. They'll give you the sense that, you came down and you're wide open, but you're also giving them distinct rebounding advantages. And let's say you shoot 35%. Well, that means you're going to miss 65%.
Right.
And you're not getting very many of those rebounds the way they handle their business from a positioning standpoint. So there's just a lot of things that they do that are program staples that they've built. And Dutch is, giving them that consistency. They've had their ups and downs this year with a new coach, a new addition, like that from a head coach. It's going to take a little bit of a transition, but the program is intact and they're still a very strong program.
Coach, I know you've got the Vegas kids waiting for us. We're going to get a chance to talk to them, but I know mostly you want to see a big crowd Saturday night.
Yeah, we talk about that a lot because it's important, and there's a reason that the home court advantage is real, and we have not had a chance to really take care of home. We've won some games here, but we haven't won in conference. And those are the important ones when you're at this stage of the season where you're in conference play. You got to protect the house. And we've been talking about that a little bit more and trying to make sure all these new guys to Las Vegas understand the impact of beating UNLV. Some of their history and experience doesn't quite – hasn't quite prepared them for that.
Well, we've got some musical accompaniment all of a sudden.
Let's make it do what it do.
That's okay. Coach, appreciate it. I know you got work to do. Go get them. We'll get Nick and Noah up here, and we'll get a chance to visit before the ball game Saturday night against San Diego.
You got it. Thanks, guys.
We'll be back. Nick Blair will join us in just a moment. You're listening to the Marvin Menzies Radio Show from Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel Casino on the UNLV Sports Network from Learfield. Out top to Nunu. Left side to Hardy. Hardy gets it back to Nunu, who drives, puts it up, and in. Great job by Nunu.
Nope.
Back here at Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel Casino. John Sandler, Robert Smith with you. There's part of the future for Runner Rebel basketball and a little bit of the present. Nunu, Tervell Beck, who seems to be getting better and better. The freshmen, all the freshmen, doing such a great job this year. We are now, it's really a pleasure. These guys work so hard, and, you know, their hands are tied because they've transferred here, and they've got to sit out a year by NCAA rules, but I know they're happy to be back in town. Noah Robotham, who we'll talk to in just a moment, but we're joined now by Nick Blair, who comes back home. It's great to have Nick with us. And
homegrown.
Nick, how much fun can you have as a redshirt when you got to sit and watch during the games and you have to work you-know-what during practice?
I mean, you know, the fun is limited, of course, but I think the main thing is you get to learn. When you sit out that time, you get an idea of how people are when you interact with them, you know, get an idea how the coaches are. So just between, you know, obviously work on your game and working in school as well, it's just nice to sit back and be able to look at things and be involved sometimes. So I think that's the biggest thing for me is I get to learn.
I think that's a great attitude, Robert. I mean, you know, because as a player, when you're involved day to day and you're having to worry about a scout or you're having to worry about an opponent or stuff, you don't have that opportunity to kind of soak it all in. And I think that's a great attitude.
No, I look at redshirt. You know, a lot of kids go, no, I'll never redshirt. But like you say, it gives you an opportunity to see everything, you know, see what the coaches are like, see what the players, you know, how they're going to gel. And then, you know, then the next year you come into it and you're ready to go, whereas jumping into something right away, you don't know what to expect.
Well, let's talk about this year, and then we'll get into the future of UNLV. Mm-hmm. It's a very talented team. You've been a part of, you know, teams, of course, being playing at Gorman for those many years, all those championships, had a lot of success. This year for the Rebels, it's been up and down. There have been various things that have contributed to it.
Yeah.
But we're starting to see, I think, almost like the team coming back together and starting to play real hard and much better right now. Is that kind of what you're seeing as well?
Yeah, most definitely. You know, as you said, Nunu, Mbake, and Mari, they just look better and better each game, getting more and more comfortable. And, you know, it's good to see that you can tell as time goes forward, they're going to be good in the long run. So, you know, they're getting the kinks out and all that, you know, freshman, first year stuff is getting out the way. So it's good to see that there's a lot of hope in the future.
Who do you go up against in practice mostly?
JoJo, Chris Clyburn, you know, guys that on the wing particularly, so those guys.
Those two players are so different on the wing, though.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about, you know, night day between
right,
those two.
Right, right.
You know, JoJo likes to mostly pop it from outside. Chris, kind of a slasher. Chris had, after playing probably as consistent as any Rebel for a long time, has had a couple off games, and we're looking forward to him bouncing back.
Yeah.
You talked about learning. What have you learned thus far? What can you articulate that you've kind of, you know, gathered from sitting and watching or being part of practice this year as a basketball player?
Just learn the coaches' personalities, you know. You know, they're good guys that care a lot, and, you know, you just know what to expect from each coach as far as certain standards of what they do. And as players, you know, responses, I think, is the thing. You know, sometimes if something happens, something bad happens, I know I can't go to a certain guy and kind of yell at him because in the heat of the moment in basketball, you know, guys get emotional, guys get all fired up, and, you know, certain guys, you got to say certain things to a certain way. So, you know, basketball, it's a lot of things that happen, and so depending on who it is, and who you're talking to, you know, just stuff like that.
The future at UNLV is really coming into focus, and it's great to see. You know, the two kids who've signed, two guards with Hamilton and Woodbury, both very, very talented. They'll bring different things to the table. And you know pretty much what's coming back next year.
Yeah.
You know, you got Shakur probably. And you, I mean, there's nothing certain, but and you certainly have Amari, and you've got Nunu, and you got Mbake, and you got Jay, and you know, yeah, the guys like that. So where do you fit in? Do you think, and what do you see your role? What do you bring that Rebel fans are going to love?
I think I just bring just consistent energy. You know, I'm a guy who, whenever I play hard and go out there and give it all, I just do a lot of good things. You know, don't have to worry about scoring too much. You know, I just feel like I just can help out without having to put the ball in the hoop, defensively, and if possible, you know, hopefully offensive role, whatever happens. You know, I'm just more worried about winning. I think more importantly, I just bring experience, being on a really good high school team with good guys, McDonald's All-Americans, and going to one Division One and playing on and off both years I was there, and you know, first year I was there winning 20 plus games, you know, just understanding what it is to win and how it is to lose. So just bringing overall experience and being a good teammate.
Well, when you look at this year's team and you start putting your things together, what will you add next year that you think will help this team even more so, or just help the chemistry?
Yeah, I think just positivity, you know, yeah, making sure guys understand that you got to push forward. You know, right, you're going to have bad possessions, you're going to have bad games, and you got to keep going. You know, obviously, depending on how things go, I can't sit here and just say, like, I'm bringing better defense,
right,
I'm bringing
right,
offense.
Right. No.
But I definitely think I can bring just a better mindset, which is a huge part of the game.
And
big
time.
Helping out mentally for these guys, and the guys, I like them, they like me, and we're all just going to keep gelling as the years go forward. So.
Well, I mean, I think Rebel fans should be really excited to have both you and Noah back in town and getting ready to contribute and do a great job for the Runner Rebels next year and in seasons to come, and be part of that Rebel family, yeah, that extends beyond,
right,
your college years.
Right.
What are you studying?
Sociology.
Yeah, and any thoughts about life after basketball?
Still figuring it out.
You
know, like,
you're young,
else,
believe
but
me. There's no rush. Enjoy yourself, and I know you're just going to do a great job, and we really appreciate you coming out.
Thank you for having
That's
me.
Nick
Good
Blair
job,
joining us. We'll take a break. We'll get Noah up here. Nick didn't say anything bad about you, so we're cool. Noah will be up here after this. We're taking a break. You're listening to the Marvin Menzies Radio Show from Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel Casino on the UNLV Sports Network from Learfield.
I'm attorney Glenn Lerner. You wouldn't wait to call the doctor if your child were sick, and you wouldn't wait to call the police if your house was being robbed. So why would you wait to call an attorney after you've been hurt in a car wreck? We have a team of lawyers and a network of experts who can begin working on your case the moment you call. The faster you call us, the faster we can get you all the money you deserve. Hurt in a wreck and need a check? Make one call, that's all, to 877-1500.
Glenn Lerner is the way to go. Call 877-1500.
Crivetti Orthopedics and Sports Medicine has been providing orthopedic care in the Las Vegas Valley for more than 15 years. Whether you're a top-notch athlete, active adult, weekend warrior, younger athlete, or someone who is experiencing everyday joint pain, Dr. Michael Crivetti and Dr. Caleb Pinneger, they have the knowledge, talent, and experience to help you get back in your game. Crivetti Orthopedics is committed to personal attention, quicker recovery times, and more importantly, successful outcomes. Their innovative surgical and recovery suites currently have a 99.8% patient satisfaction rating. Put your trust in the team of experienced professionals at Crivetti Orthopedics. Visit CrivettiOrtho.com today.
Las Vegas, it's coming. 10 tons of steel, 2 miles of chain. Broadcast worldwide as it happens from T-Mobile Arena. It's WWE Elimination Chamber. The Elimination Chamber. The most diabolical structure in sports entertainment. Sunday, February 25th at 4:30, 6 men will enter, but only one will survive its wrath. Great seats available now at the box office and access.com.
The newly redesigned 2018 Subaru Outback. It comes with road-gripping, standard, symmetrical all-wheel drive plus 32 miles per gallon, and it helps keep your journey safe. The Outback is a 2017 IIHS Top Safety Pick Plus with EyeSight and steering responsive headlights. This may be our most adventurous Outback yet.
EPA estimated highway fuel economy for 2018 Subaru Outback 2.5i models. Actual mileage may vary.
Now on the 215 Beltway between Rainbow and Jones. SubaruLasVegas.com.
Throws it back out top to Hardy. 6 on the shot clock. Hardy comes right side. Reverses to Nunu with 3 straight away for Nunu. Is good! How about that Nunu knocking down a 3 up in Fresno? He can do it. He's going to be a really good Runner Rebel after all is said and done. John Sandler, Robert Smith with you here at Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel Casino. Another Vegas guy joining us here. Another Gorman grad, the
Vegas
Gatorade
flavor.
Player of the Year as a senior at Bishop Gorman. A terrific honor and a great player and a guy who is going to be so critical for the program next year as he slides into that point guard role after Jordy Johnson leaves. Noah Robotham joining us. Noah, thank you so much. It's great to have you here. Talk about how excited you are to be back in Las Vegas, or maybe not just you, maybe Dad too, to come play basketball for the Runner Rebels.
I mean, I'm very excited. I grew up in Las Vegas. I used to go to UNLV games. My best friend growing up was Alex Tarkanian, so I kind of feel like, you know, UNLV basketball kind of run through my, you know, my blood. So I'm excited to be back at home, and my family's excited to have me here. And I'm excited to play in front of these fans and, you know, all these people that I used to, you know, attend the games with. And I'm excited to represent Las Vegas.
Has it been difficult this year sitting out?
It has been difficult. But at the end of my freshman year at Akron, I tore my ACL and had to sit out about 8 or 9 months. So having the ability to play and get better while sitting out has been a much better experience than actually being hurt. So it hasn't been this bad this time around.
You bring a unique perspective. You were part of, obviously, one of the most successful programs in high school basketball history at Bishop Gorman. Then you went to Akron, which plays in the MAC, and it's not known as a basketball conference, but you had success there. But now you come back to the Mountain West, and I think you bring kind of a unique perspective. Talk about, if you will, the Mountain West Conference versus another, you know, quote-unquote mid-major like the MAC and the differences that you've seen. And also, you probably have a more of an appreciation of other teams coming in when you're wearing UNLV on your chest than maybe some of the other guys.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Mountain West and the MAC have, you know, some similarities. Obviously, I think the coaching is the biggest thing. The coaches in the MAC and the coaches in the Mountain West, I think, are very talented coaches. Obviously, once you get into conference play, the coaches know, you know, the type of players, you know, the sets you run, whatever the case may be. They know how many people are going to be sitting in the stands on any given night.
Yep.
So
right.
I think that's very similar, to both conferences. But as far as that goes, I think, you know, it varies from any conference. I think some conferences have their strong points. And obviously, I think there are teams that have, you know, a target on their back. And given the tradition of UNLV, no matter what, you know, we are in conference, I believe that, you know, we're always going to be a team that people gun for. And it's Las Vegas. So I think, you know, teams are excited about, you know, coming here and playing. And I think every kid growing up knows about the tradition of UNLV and how good we've been in the past and what we're trying to build on in the future.
Do you think kids who come from other markets maybe don't quite understand that about the target on the back kind of thing?
I think it just depends your basketball knowledge. I think if you're, you know, into basketball, you kind of know about the 90 Rebels and, you know, how far that goes. And Jerry Tarkanian, I think, you know, is arguably one of the best college coaches of all time. So I think if you're, you know, a basketball savant, you understand, you know, the legacy of Las Vegas and UNLV basketball.
You're a point guard. I know you and Robert spent a lot of time together when you were growing up. Robert, you know, helping you and coaching. Robert, what will Noah bring at that point guard position for the Runner Rebels next year?
Well, he'll bring stability. He'll bring knowledge of the game. And I think he'll have control of the game because he knows, you know, from the experience that he's had, you know, what pace to play at.
You look forward to playing that? You like that up-tempo pace that Marvin Menzies and his coaching staff want you to play?
Very excited. I think it's very similar to what we ran at Bishop Gorman, you know, given our bigs and the wings, how athletic we were, the length. So I think what we're doing is kind of implementing what we were kind of mirroring what we were doing at Gorman. So I feel, you know, very comfortable running that type of offense.
That's really exciting. Have you learned stuff from Jordy or watching Jordy this year? He's a point guard. He's a pass first point guard kind of in the traditional sense. But because of his size and because of his physical strength, I think he can do a lot of different things on the court.
Yeah, I've learned a lot from Jordy. I think he's a great point guard, and you know, our fans and you know, the community should be happy to have, you know, a player of his caliber. I've learned, you know, a lot of different things. He's taught me the offense, obviously, because, you know, when I was in the same system for 3 years and I came here, I had to learn a whole new system.
Right.
And the way that we kind of teach it here is kind of very flowy, and you kind of just learn on the go. So it's kind of like he's been teaching me and Amari at the same time. But obviously that, he is a great passer. But the good thing with Jordy, I think that, you know, he has to get more credit about is he's very good at picking his spots, when to score, when to facilitate. Mm-hmm. I think you kind of see patterns during the game. If our team has, you know, offensive lapses or, you know, we're not playing well on offense,
exactly
he knows
right.
when to score, when yep. to make big shots.
Right.
And, I mean, if, you know, obviously people have noticed at the end of the game, he's the one taking the shot, and the team is comfortable with him taking the shot. So, and I think that just speaks to a testament to the type of player that he is and, you know, what he exhibits in practice, and we all trust him taking those shots.
You mentioned Amari Hardy.
Mm-hmm.
How good is this kid going to be by the time junior senior year rolls around?
Very good. I think he's an unbelievable player, and obviously you know, he's from Michigan. He was very successful in high school. He understands the game, but you know, it's your freshman year, you go through a lot of ups and downs, but the speed of the game is faster. Everyone's, you know, athletic, everyone's strong. I think it's just something that you learn as time progresses. But the good thing with him is, you know, he's getting the minutes and he's learning practice, and he's learning from guards that have played for 3 years in Division I. So he's learning at a rapid pace, and he's going to be a very good player, and I'm excited to see what he does in this future.
What is special about Noah that you're going to bring to the Rebels next year, and what do you think you have to work on over the summer to get ready?
I think the biggest thing I bring is I've won at, you know, everywhere I've gone. You know, at Bishop Gorman, you know, I left as the winningest player in Gorman history. At the University of Akron, you know, we won 21 games my freshman year, 26 my sophomore, and 27 games my junior year. So just, you know, knowing when to win, making the right plays, I believe that I could help, and also just being a leader out there. You know, I've always kind of been the younger guy in the locker room, and I've been the older guy in the locker room. I've kind of seen both spectrums of it. So I'm excited, you know, mentor some of the, you know, the younger guys and helping guys out, or, you know, having guys, you know, maybe look at me as one of the older guys on the team and picking my brain, you know, what I used to do when I was younger. So I just think, you know, little things that maybe you don't learn every day from a coach, or something that another player can teach you. So definitely that. And as far as me this summer, just always, you know, just getting stronger, getting better, learning the offense, getting more comfortable. And I think the rest will handle itself.
Well, the weather's a little different from Akron.
Yeah.
Do you miss it? Miss the weather from back there?
I do not miss the weather.
No offense.
I don't miss the weather. You know, that's no offense. But I remember, you know, treading through the snow. We used to have practice at 8 a.m. and, you know, walking through the snow at 6:30. That was a hassle. But, you know, I think you have to enjoy. You know, what do they say? You have to enjoy the rain to understand what the sun is, or whatever
that's
the
right.
case may be. So I think it works.
Well, we are excited to have you, and I think one of the things you're going to bring to this team, because of just you know, your performance over the last few minutes, poise, intelligence, I think you're going to be a huge asset to this run.
Thank
Rebels.
You.
No
appreciate that. Thank
you stick around. We're going to take a break. We've got one more segment. You stick around for that for us?
Of course.
We will come back and talk a little bit more Runner Rebel basketball. We come back. You listen to the Marvin Menzies Radio Show from Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel Casino on the Rebel Sports Network from Learfield. Nunu with a dangerous pass. Hardy able to snatch it. Gets it in the front court to Clyburn. Clyburn underneath. Lays it up too strong. McCoy's there for the slam dunk. Brandon McCoy working hard, playing hard. What the Rebels need, they're going to need a lot of that Saturday night. San Diego State in town. The game at 7 o'clock. Robert and I have all the action starting at 6:30 with Runner Rebel warm-up. John Sandler, Robert Smith, and Noro Botham joining you. Our last segment here at Bailiwick. Noah, I know you grew up here. You know the history. I know you're not going to mind at all if the Rebels snap the streak against San Diego State without you being an active player. That's not going to bother you, is it?
It's not going to bother me.
But you also know it's going to be tough. They're a good team.
Yeah, they are a great team. So we're excited to take that test. But I think that, you know, we'll be properly prepared when the game comes.
Well, it's going to be a lot of fun. Robert,
yeah.
You and I have seen this rivalry and this matchup for a long time. It's time that the other team got on the winning side.
Yeah, and it would be great for this Rebel team to break that streak. And I think it would give them a lot of confidence.
No doubt about it. Game is Saturday, 7 o'clock. As we said, a lot going on. There's a student tailgate over by the Tarkanian statue starting, I believe, at 5 o'clock. And then all sorts of games and prizes. I think students at that tailgate can register to participate in a halftime contest, and they're going to give away some big prizes at the halftime contest to students. There are all sorts of promotions and entertainment and performers on the concourse before the game. It's going to be a great environment, and you can make it even greater by coming out. The students will be there. Robert and I will be there. Noah will be there. Nick will be there. But we need you there, too. That's Saturday night against San Diego State at the Thomas & Mack. As I said, 7 o'clock with the tip. And Robert and I have all the action with Runner Rebel warm-up at 6:30. Rebels home for two, as the Rebels will be home Wednesday against San Jose State as well. and we hope to see you there for that before they go on a very tough two-game trip at Boise and at Reno. That's going to do it for us tonight. Want to thank Chris for his hard work back in our studios, Brad engineering alongside. Want to thank Coach. Want to thank Nick Blair, Noah Robotham for joining us here. And now from my broadcast partner, Robert Smith, this is John Sandler saying thank you very much for listening. Thanks for coming out again. Great crowd here. And we'll talk to you Saturday night at the Thomas & Mack against San Diego State. Have a great evening, everybody.